This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanison and Noel Lim.
And in the continuing spirit of World Environment Day, we're taking a look at green bonds because they've been gaining traction in the past few years, with global issuances growing threefold to about $190 billion in the first 5 months of 2021. Even Amazon issued its first sustainability bond, raising $1 billion to invest in renewable energy, clean transport, green buildings and affordable housing. While China has led the surge in green bond financing, raising $26 billion, which is about 13% of all green bonds issued globally.
So it appears that green bonds are the fastest growing segment of a $128 trillion global bond market. But just how sustainable is this growth? For more on this, we have on the line with us Cedric Rimaud, ASEAN Program Manager from the Climate Bonds Initiative, an international not-for-profit organization working to mobilize capital markets for climate change solutions. Cedric, good morning. Thank you for joining us. So what differentiates a green bond from a conventional bond?
Well, a green bond is basically dedicated to specific projects that have a purpose to be positive for the environment, as opposed to a conventional bond that generally funds the business as usual of an issuer. So it's slightly different in the way the capital is allocated.
And is there a global standard as to what qualifies and any agency that ensures that standards are adhered to?
Yes, indeed. There is the International Capital Markets Association that released in 2014 the Green Bond Principles, which is basically recommending a selection process and the management of specific projects for the allocation of the capital. And on top of that, the Climate Bonds Initiative has designed the Climate Bond Standard, which goes one step further to design criteria that are backed by scientific evidence to ensure that the projects are aligned with the Paris Agreement of limiting global warming.
So how much more does it cost to issue green bonds compared to conventional ones?
Well, the thing is, you need to hire a third-party agency that will review the project and make sure that the project complies with the standards. So that has a little bit of an extra cost. And you internally within the business, you need also to design what we call a green bond framework that requires extra documentation. But apart from that, it does give access to more investors globally, and we see some benefits in the cost of the debt that is being raised. So there are some tangible benefits that offset those additional costs.
So how is it that green bonds might push the sustainable agenda for companies in particular?
Well, it offers the opportunity for companies to review their business and see how they can, first of all, measure their impact on the environment and select projects that have a positive, effect on their operations, and then invest in those projects by raising new sources of capital that is looking to invest with impact. So this is really an opportunity for companies to review their business as usual and then, measure their carbon footprint for some of them and then correct so that they have less impact on our environment.
But Cedric, is there, for those who are a bit more skeptical, there have been claims of greenwashing, not just in climate bonds, but also with ESG investing. So is this a legitimate concern that companies are going to use this to greenwash as a way of raising debt?
Well, it can be a concern for investors, and that's why the standards are designed so that there is additional disclosure on what projects are being funded. Companies that issue green bonds must specify what projects are going to be developed, and then investors can assess whether they believe in those projects having a positive effect on the environment. And with the third-party verification of what we call a second-party opinion, there is additional scrutiny to avoid greenwashing. And that's really the direction we are going towards.
Issuance of green bonds hit $1 trillion US last December, but only accounts for 1% of the global bond market. Realistically, when will green bonds become even more mainstream?
Well, you're right, but this has been achieved over the last 5 years, so it's an extremely high rate of growth. If you look at the annual average growth rate of this market, it's about 60%. So I would argue that this is becoming mainstream. And when we see the response from investors when a new green bond gets issued, it's extremely high. Even the Malaysian sovereign issuance of a sustainability sukuk in April this year attracted more than six times the amount that was offered from global investors. So the response is quite impressive.
So when we look forward then, it's a good start, but what might be challenges to growth of issuing more green bonds or the growth of this industry?
Well, obviously this growth, this high growth rate needs to be managed to make sure that the projects that are selected do comply with the objective of the Paris Agreement. So your concern about greenwashing is on point. We need to make sure that there is continued scrutiny on the type of projects. And that's why we see the development of taxonomies around the world, starting with the EU taxonomy, which is a very large body of work to make sure that the right projects qualify for this type of financing.
So in order to further encourage the issuances of green bonds and ESG products, what needs to change? Is it just going to be a policy issue, or will it also just be organically driven by a growing demand for ESG products?
Well, I think it's both. The policy angle is important, and that's why regulators are quite busy developing rules for their own market. The ASEAN region is currently working on an ASEAN taxonomy that would also give guidance to issuers on how to issue green bonds. But also, I guess, issuers need to get familiarized with the process and understand that it's not too difficult either, because it's the path is already well laid out for them. There is clear guidance on how to proceed. And that's why we are seeing growth, is that, past the initial questions that issuers had on how to design the projects, now they realize that this is actually quite achievable. And also banks are also getting more and more active in helping their clients on that road to issuance.
Now, bringing it home to Malaysia, the country is the largest issuer of sukuk in the world. Are there bonds that meet both criteria of Islamic and green?
Yes, Malaysia has seen $1.5 billion of green bond issuance. And out of the 15 issues, 13 were sukuk. So actually, yes, there is quite a few of them. And, they can be quite varied in terms of the types of projects they are financing, from renewable energy to green buildings to land use and waste management or even water projects.
Cedric, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Cedric Grimaud, ASEAN Programme Manager at the Climate Bonds Initiative, an international organisation working to mobilise capital markets for climate change solutions. And it's an interesting, some of the numbers that he quotes. We're asking him if he thinks that green bonds are becoming mainstream. He's of the opinion that it already is, considering the significant amount of growth that we've seen. I think the number he quoted was a 60% growth in the past year or so.
Yeah, and I think there are some promising changes that are taking place. So Bank Negara Malaysia, for example, they've launched a climate change and principle-based taxonomy to help banks assess and categorise economic activities according to how much they meet climate objectives and promote the transition to this low-carbon economy.
Yeah, and on a similar but not so similar note, we are running a poll on Twitter right now in the lieu of World Environment Day. We're asking you whether environmental, social, and governance ESG investing has become a much bigger topic over the last few years. Is this something that interests you? 61% say yes. 29% say no. 0% said already in my portfolio. Interesting. And 9% asked what's that, which is I guess an important thing as well, right? And I actually did a Ringgit & Sense yesterday on ESG investing, breaking it down. So if you want to check that out, you can find it on the BFM app or the website, bfm.my. Just search up, is ESG investing for you? I know, a little bit of a clickbaity. It's not that clickbaity, actually. It's a very honest question. Is ESG investing for you? And we attempt to break it down.
Yes, indeed. So if you want to check out any of our podcasts, you can on the BFM app or on our website. In the meantime, though, we are heading into some messages. And then up next, we're going to be speaking with Managing Director and CEO of Standard Chartered Malaysia, Abra Anwar, on cybersecurity in big banks. So be sure to stay tuned after these messages at BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.